All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. Baruch Hashem. Good. Today's daf is Mem Vav 46. We are picking up Mem Hei Amud Beis 45b at the Mishnah. At the Mishnah, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. Says the Mishnah, Kol Niskalin Nitlin. It will say after a person is stoned, so the body is hung. Hung. The body is hung. Right? Kol Niskalin Nitlin. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say these are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. Whoever experiences skila is hung afterwards. V'chom v'chom say eino nitle. The Chachamim say the only people whose bodies are hung after stoning are the individuals who either go ahead and are killed because they cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or one who worshipped Avodah Zarah. We'll discuss again where the Chachamim get this from. Ha'ish told him also, Panav Klapei Am. So when the body of a man is hung, so ultimately again his face, he faces the people. But a woman, her body faces ultimately again towards the post upon which she is hung. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim say, Ha'ish nitla ve'in ha'isha nitla. So both say this goes back to yesterday's daf. The Chachamim say only a man is hung, a woman is never hung, even after skila. And both say, remember again, we saw already in yesterday's daf, the Rambam paskins, we paskin like this statement of the Chachamim, that only a man is hung, a woman is not hung. Alts tznius. So the Gemara says the following, Shimon ben Shetach Omer, Amar le Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Valo Shimon ben Shetach Tolan Roshim Ba'ashkelon, but Shimon ben Shetach went ahead and executed, again, this was the big Rashi that I told you that I owe you, Shimon ben Shetach executed 80 women who were engaged in kishuf, were engaged in sorcery, and he hung them. Right, is that the right? They hung them. Okay, good. He hung them, ultimately, again, all 80 in one day. All 80 in one day. So the Gemara says, Amrulo shmonim nashim talos. So first of all, again, it was 80 women. Ve'ein danin shnayim biyom echad. And in general, again, we do not go ahead and execute, we do not judge two capital cases in one day. Which is another way of the Mishnah saying, don't bring any rayas from Shimon ben Shetach, because Shimon ben Shetach, that case was an outlier. Okay, so we'll discuss it. Ten rabbanim. So the Gemara quotes over here the following. Guhumas vitalisa. The pasuk says, you will kill him, and you will hang him. Yachol kalamum sin nitlin. I might have thought that anyone who is executed by Beis Din is automatically hung. Talmud lomar ki kilas elokim taloi. The pasuk says, because the kilas elokim, the degradation or the curse of God, is hung. Ma mekalo zet. So we'll say, what does that refer to? This refers ultimately, that pasuk is referring to the one who is executed because he cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma mekalo zet shebeskila. Just like the one who curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu is killed with skila, and he is hung afterwards. Afkol shebeskila. Anyone who is killed by stoning is subsequently hanged. Divi Rabbi Eliezer. These are the words, ultimately, again, of Rabbi Eliezer. So also Rabbi Eliezer says, therefore, you see this connection, ultimately, only those who are killed with skila, as a result, ultimately, again, of cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Avodah Zarah, you understand, comes into the same category. They're both a denial of the existence of God. That's what there's a chum say. Ma mekalel zeh shekafar be'ikar, af kol shekafar be'ikar. So I'm sorry, what I just said refers to the chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer darshins, any time a person is killed by skila, so the body is hung afterwards. The chachamim say no, that anyone who is killed because ultimately, again, they were kofar be'ikar. The rabbis say kofar be'ikar means they deny the existence of God. There are only two cases where a person is killed for being kofar be'ikar. What are the two cases? Number one, a person curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and number two, Avodah Zarah. Both of those are denial of God, and therefore, again, it's only in those two cases where the person is hung. So it says the Gemara B'maikim Mefugis. So what are they arguing about? Rabbanan Dashi Klali Uprati Rabbi Lazar Dashi Ribu Yemuti. So we'll say what they're arguing about is the exegetical principle through which we darshan these psukim. Rabbanan Dashi Klali Uprati. The Rabbanan Darshan Klal Uprat. So how do they darshan a Klal Uprat? Vahumas Vitalisa Klal. So we'll say you will go ahead and you will kill him and you will hang him. This is a general principle. Kikilalas, because again, I will say the phrase Kikilalas Elokim Talui, right? Literally, the curse of God is hanging. Prat, that refers to a specific statement. Ihav makari lahadadi. Since these two phrases were right next to each other, Arminan ein bechlal alamash shebeprat. I would have said that Rabbi say in general again, the klal is only comprised of that which is included in the prat. Hani in midi achrini lo. The only these, i.e., megadev cursing God and avodah zarah, are included in the obligation of hanging. But other situations where a person is executed, he's not hanged afterwards. To which the Gemara says, ta'atav of memvav hashta. But now that the two phrases, in fact, are distanced from one another, ahani l'rebuye avodos kachavim. Ultimately, again, it comes to include avodos kachavim as well, avodah zara. Didami le bechol midi, because Rav Osai avodah zara resembles the case of megadef. Rabbi Eliezer darish ribuy umiute. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, darshins ribuy umiut. What's the ribuy umiut? So vohumas vitalisa ribuy. You will kill him and you will hang him. This is a ribuy. Kikilas elokim. Kikilas elokim toy miut. This is an exclusionary phrase. Ihavu makarvi lahadadi. If the two phrases were right next to each other, lo havu marbinan ela avodas kochavim dedam la bechomidi. I would have only included avodah zara because avodah zara ultimately resembles megadef in every way. Hashda demercha kimehadadi. Now that they are distanced, ahani lerabuye shar niskalim. It comes to include other people who are killed ultimately again by skila, that they are also hanged as well, also hung as well. So we'll say, Sadu Paskin. So interestingly enough, we paskin ultimately again like the Chachamim, that halacha lemaisa, the only people who are hung are people who are executed because of Megadef and Avod Zara. Only those who are executed because they curse God or because they worship the idolatry, those bodies are hung after they're executed. I want to be clear. What the Mishnah is referring to, what Rav Osai, is the person is not killed through hanging. And we're going to see that. It's actually very interesting. They're killed through stoning. After they're killed through stoning, we hang the body. That only applies in the two specific cases of Megadef and Avodah Zarah. Other cases of Skila, it will not apply. So says the Gemara the following. Ha'ish tolin. My time of the Rabbanan. So we'll say, so the Gemara says the following. What's the reason of the Rabbanan? So remember again, the Chachamim say that only a man is hung, a woman is not. So says the Gemara, my time of the Rabbanan. Amakra, v'talisa osa. Pasuk says, you shall hang him. Oso v'la osa. The Chachamim darshan him and not her. Rabbi Eliezer, oso v'lo ksuso. Rabbi Eliezer, so that's yesterday's daf. He says, no, oso is not supposed to be gender specific. Oso means you only stone the individual to exclude what? To exclude his clothing. So Rabbanon inachinami. The Rabbanon agree with that, by the way, that you also remove the clothing of the individual. Ela amar kra v'chiye be'ish chait ish v'lo isha. The Rabbanon darshan another pasuk. The pasuk says, when a man will have a sin in him, he will be hung afterwards. V'lo isha. So again, not a woman. Rabbi Eliezer, hi v'chiye be'ish my darishbe. What does Rabbi Eliezer do with this pasuk? Amar Reish Lakish is amazing because it's halacha l'maaseh this week's parasha. Hahu l'me'ute ben sorer umora. That comes to exclude ben sorer umora from the obligation to from hanging. So the Gemara says v'hatanya. Ben Sorer Umora Niskal V'Nitla Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. But one second. The Braisa says, you both say, this is Rabbi Eliezer L'Shitaso, who says what? Everyone who is stoned is subsequently hanged. So therefore he will hold that Ben Sorer Umora ultimately will be hung as well. So the Gemara says, but one second, we have a contradiction. Because Rabbi Eliezer just darshan, Ki Yihye Be'ish. Ish means a man is subject to hanging, but what? A boy, right? Which would be a Ben Sorer Umora, is not. Yet the Braisa says that according to Eliezer, a ben sorer umora is in fact on Elo Amrav Nachar by Yitzchak Lerabos ben sorer umora. So ultimately, Nachar Meitzel says, you're right. A ben sorer umora is hung as well. My time da Amar Kra v'chiye b'ish chait ish v'lo ben. So ultimately, again, ish means chait misha al chet o neherag yotza ben sorer umora sha'al sofo neherag. Oh, supposed to listen to this. See, interestingly enough, when it comes to this pasuk, we're going to see what we have is what we call a miut achar miut, two exclusionary phrases. When the pasuk says v'chiye be'ish chait, so we darshan ish v'lo ben. That refers to a man and not a boy. Number two, chait, it says he's executed for his sin. We dashen from that. Someone who is executed for his sin. Now this comes to exclude Ben Sora and Mora. Both say, remember again, Ben Sora and Mora is the great novelty. Why is that the great novelty? Because the Ben Sora and Mora is not really executed for what he's done, but rather he's executed, why? For what we know he will become. Remember, all he's done is he's stolen some money and he's bought meat and wine. That is not, and that is not an offense punishable by death. We kill him, the Gemara says, because we know that he's going to ultimately become an individual who is going to steal and rob and kill other individuals. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? Have a miyot achamiyot. This is two exclusionary phrases in a row. Ve'e miyot achamiyot elo l'rabos. And I will say one of the exegetical principles is that when you have a miyot achamiyot, two exclusionary phrases, one after the other, that comes to include something else. In this case, what does it come to include? It comes to include, ultimately, again, events. It comes to include Ben Sora or Mora, that in fact he is hung. We'll say, so amazingly enough, it's just the way the exegetical principles work. We have two exclusionary phrases, both that seem to exclude Ben Sora Umora from the obligation of hanging, yet because they are two repetitive exclusionary phrases, miyot achar miyot l'rabos comes to include Ben Sora Umora hanging. Incredible. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Baloshim ben Shadach Talanoshim, Rabbi Eliezer says, but one second, he says, the Chum say, we only hang men, we don't hang women. See, who says Judaism is a misogynistic religion? You see? Right? We only hang men, we don't hang women. So Rabbi Lez says to Chachamim, what about the case of Shimon ben Shetach? Shimon ben Shetach, he hanged those 80 sorceresses, right? Those 80 women in one day. So Amar Rav Chisda, lo shanu ela b'shtei misos. When do we say that Beis Din does not execute two people in one day? That's only if they're being executed with two different forms of execution. But Lamaisa, again, if they have two cases with the same death penalty, then ultimately, again, they will try both of those cases in one day. But yet there was the case of Shimon Shetach, where all 80 women were executed in the same way. And yet, again, we see that case was an outlier, that was something that would not be normally done, even though, again, all these women were being executed in the same way. Ella, i'itmar hachi itmar. Rather, this is what you have to say. Lo shana ella b'misa achos, ke'in shtei misos. Beis Din only will try two capital cases in one day and execute two people in one day. If it's one misa, that's like two misos. What does that mean? Vehechi dami. What's the case, Rabbi Osai? Kigon shtei averos. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, it's Rashi, it's 2, 4, 5 lines up from before Rashi gets wide. Misa achas kein shtei misos, kigon shtei averos, shein domos, vehe misa achas. So we'll say, Beis Din will adjudicate two capital cases, as long as what? They are two dissimilar averos, but with the same death penalty. What's an example of two dissimilar averos with one death penalty? Kigon, Shabbos v'Avodah Zarah. So both Shabbos and Avodah Zarah carry with them a same penalty of Skila. Same penalty of Skila. So the Gemara says over here, Beis Din will go ahead and adjudicate two cases with the same death penalty when it's two different infractions. Beis Din will not adjudicate two cases, even if they have the same misa, if they're two distinct averos. Aval b'misa achas va'avera achas donin. But I will say, if there are two cases for the same infraction and the same death penalty, then Einach Inami Beis Din will adjudicate that case. So we'll say, where the Gemara seems to be holding right now is the following. When do we say that Beis Din doesn't judge two cases? Obviously, if it's two dissimilar cases, Beis Din won't judge two capital cases in one day. But even if both of the cases have the same death penalty, but they're different infractions, we won't judge those two in one day either. The only time there's a possibility for Beis Din paskening on two capital cases in one day is when it's mamish two of the same case. First, two people committed the same avera, and therefore ultimately again same infraction, same death penalty. Masir Ravad Bar Ava, Ravad Bar Ava raised the kasha. Ein don shnaya bayom va'afilu noe fino efes. But one second, the Brisa says that a Beis Din cannot condemn two people. Can't go ahead and give out two death sentences in one day, even with an adulterer and an adulteress. Listen, what this seems to be saying is the following. Let's say two people are brought to Beis Din, a man and a woman. Why? Because they both committed an act of adultery together. Same Avera, and presumably what? Same Misa. Now, based on what we just said, same Avera, same death penalty, what should be the halacha? Beis Din should be able to adjudicate both the cases. Yet we see, the Gemara says, the Bright says, that we wouldn't adjudicate those two capital cases on the same day. To which the Gemara says, Tergumar of Chista, the Baskoin of Bo'ala. Oh, Rabbi say, what's the case? There's an interesting case. Interesting case, if a Bas Kohen commits adultery. Suppose say there's a special Gzeiras HaKasev, she is killed with Sreifa, even though again the man is killed either with Skila or Chenek, depending on her particular status. But it's one of the interesting anomalies where the woman gets a different punishment than the man. So the Gemara says that could be the case, where even though they're both showing up at Beis Din for the same Avera, and by the way, the same Avera they committed with one another, because their death sentences will be different, Beis Din will not rule on both of those capital cases in one day. Oh, the bas koin v'zomame zomameha. Or I will say in the case, and again, we're not going to get into the intricacies over here, but if you have witnesses who testify about a bas koin who went ahead and committed adultery, then what? You have Edim who come and make the first set of witnesses, Edim Zomamin, and then ultimately you have a third set of witnesses who make the second set of witnesses, Zomamin, who reinstate the first set of witnesses into regular Edim. Ultimately, again, the Edim Zomamin and the Edim Zomamin will get a different Misa than the Isha would have. The point the Gemara is trying to make over here is that when the Braisa says, we don't execute two people in one day, even an adulterer and adulteress, that contradicted what we said before, that Beis Din will hand down two death penalties when both cases are the same Avera and the same punishment. So what do we do with this price that says we won't kill the adulterer and the adulteress in the same day? The Gemara understands that to be referring to a very specific case of adultery where the circumstances are such that the adulterer and the adulteress are receiving two different punishments. Good. Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ben Yaakov Omer, Shamati Shebeis Din Makin Va'onshin Shlomen HaTorah. I will say, it's very interesting. I have heard, I will say, a number of you have asked me this question over time. When we have cases where Beis Din can't technically punish someone, but it's clear that the guy's a bad guy. You know, you have cases like this, I will say, where somebody has done something illegal, but for whatever reason, or I should say something different. You know the guy's a bad guy. He's just a bad guy. I don't mean like making a personal judgment. I mean like Beis Din knows the guy's bad. But for whatever reason, we can't punish him within a legal framework because whatever the issue is. The Gemara now is talking about what we'll call the long arm of the law. Beis Din has a long arm. The Gemara says, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Shemati Shebeis Din Makin Va'onshin Shlomen HaTorah. Beis Din has the right to go out and give Malkus, as well as level out other punitive measures, Shlomen HaTorah. Bosa Shlomen HaTorah means even when the Torah does not demand it. V'lo La'avar al Divrei Torah. Now the Beis Din doesn't do this in order to violate Torah law, Ela Kedei Lasos Siag LaTorah. Rather, again, only in order to go ahead and make a protective fence around Torah. So Beis Din Rabbeinu say has, in other words, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that Beis Din has the right to punish when necessary, when they see ultimately again that the collective needs are served through the administering of this punishment. So the Gemara actually gives examples of this. There was once a guy who was riding a horse on Shabbos during the days of the Greeks. Beis Din Uskaluhu. They brought him to Beis Din and they stoned him. And not because riding an animal on Shabbos ultimately deserves skila, but the hour demanded it. We'll say, what does that mean? So we know, are you allowed to ride an animal on Shabbos? The halacha is no. Why can't you ride an animal on Shabbos? We'll say, so it's gzeira d'rabbanan that ultimately, again, a person may come to break off a branch in order to go ahead and hit the animal to get it to move. So again, riding an animal on Shabbos, thus a d'rabbanan. Certainly not a death penalty. Malkus, you can get Malkus for it, so why don't they do it? So remember, the Gemara gives us the context. This was the days of the Yevanim. The Yevanim, we know, the Greek Hellenists wanted to outlaw, Antiochus outlawed a number of things, amongst them, Shabbos. There was an active effort to undermine the sanctity of Shabbos. This Jew was publicly flaunting Shabbos, was publicly violating Shabbos. So therefore, again, the Beis Din took it upon themselves to execute him. Why? Because they felt it was important in order to go ahead and safeguard the sanctity and severity of Shabbos in the eyes of the populace. So we'll say this is the long arm of the law. Another example. Ma'aseh ba'adam echad she'tiach es ishto tachas hateino. There was another man. Now, we'll say this is a married couple. And he had relations with his wife under the fig tree. In other words, the case over here is he had relations in public. In public. Now, lav dafka in the middle of the street. You know, it was under the tree, so it was a little bit removed, but it was something that was considered to be a breach of tznius. It was a breach of normative modesty standards. Ve'avila bezin, they brought him to bezin, ve'alku. And he got malchus. Now, we'll say, now, what's the prohibition involved with a man having relations with his wife underneath a fig tree? And the answer is none. I mean, it's none. There's not a isad haraisa. There's not a isad dirabanan. Right? Again, so what's happening here? To which the Gemara understands this was an issue. There's no side conversations about this, by the way. Right? Yeah. There's no like a, right? So the Gemara says over here, but Chazat, the Rabbanan felt that this was an incredible breach. Now what? What the other societal circumstances that were happening at this time, I don't know. But Lamaisa, whatever it was, you can understand that this is a brazen breach of modesty, even though it's not usur. But again, Chazal felt the need to step in and to flog the guy, to give him malchus. So the Gemara goes weiter. Fine, Mishnah. Keita Tolanosa. So we'll say, this is amazing. So what's the process for hanging the individual? Now that we've established, Rabbi Osai, that first of all, the only people who are hanged are the individuals who are executed from a gadif and avodah zarah. So only cases of where you curse God and where you worship idolatry. Those are the only cases where a person is hanged. In all other cases, he's not. Only a man is hanged, a woman is not. So the Gemara says, Kesa tolano. So how do we go ahead and administer hanging?
Amen.
So says the Mishnah. Mishakin es akora ba'aretz. So we take a pole, we put the pole into the ground. Va'etz yotzei, and again I will say, so you have the pole that's into the ground, and you put another pole across the top of that pole. Va'etz yotzei. Now, we'll say, remember again, as we've discussed, hanging is not one of the forms of misas bezdin. A body is only hung after the person is already executed. Sefer Avosai, I think, and I will tell you, until I learn this Mishnah, My conception of hanging was always, how do you hang a body, right? You put a noose around the neck and you hang the body. That's not how they hung. He says people were killed by bees. Listen to this: makif shtei yadav zu al gavzu. So you tie the person's already dead. You tie their hands together. Vitola also, and you hang the individual by their hands. Plus, I was amazed by this. So I started last night that I was eating dinner with my family. I started saying over this Mishnah because I was so intrigued by this.
Yeah.
I get a sudden kick under the table by my wife because, like, my kids are turning pale at the table. Like, well, but I was so struck by this because, again, I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't remember this Mishnah from before, but it's so dramatic. It's just you don't think about that. This is how the person is hanged. But okay. Anyway, the point is, it's not good dinner table conversation. Yeah. That's the take-home message on this. Not on Shabbos, not weekday, never. Good. Rabbi Yossi says, Hakora muta ala kosel, v'tola osek ederek shat habachin osin. So we'll also listen to this, and we'll discuss what the nature of the machlokus over here is. Rabbi Yossi says, we do not take the pole and put it into the ground. Instead, what we do is, we take the pole and we lean it against a wall. Now what you would do is, again, and then you would go ahead and you would hang the person from that point where ultimately the wall, the beam hits the wall. Now the image that he gives is the same way that the butchers hang meat. So the same way apparently the butchers used to hang meat by taking a beam, leaning it against the wall, and you would hang the meat from there. Now, also, here's the amazing part. We hang the individual for just a few moments. We hang him, We're Yotze, the mitzvah, because again, there's a biblical obligation to hang those who ultimately are stoned, at least in those specific situations. We hang him, and matirin osumiyad, then we take down the body immediately. V'imlan, if you leave the body hanging overnight, over alav below sasa, you violate the prohibition. Shenemar, lo solin nivlaso alaitz, ki kabor tikberenu, ki kilalas elokim taloi. That ultimately, again, if you leave him hanging overnight, so you violate the prohibition, because the pasuk says, do not leave the body hanging overnight, ki kabor tikberenu, bury him immediately, because literally, kilalas elokim taloi, the degradation of God is hanging. Kilomar, mipnei mazet taloi, why is this one hanging? Why was this one hung, mipnei sheberach es Hashem. Ultimately, again, because he cursed God. Remember, again, this is reflecting the idea that hanging is only administered to those who are killed because of either cursing God or avodah zarah. So therefore, again, if somebody's hanging, at the end of the day, it's a reminder that there's a Jew who cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means, ki kilalas elokim talui. There's a reminder that there was a Jew who cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a degradation to the individual, a degradation to God. Nimtza Shem Shai Mischalel, I'm Rabbi Meir, b'shash adam mitztar, shechina ma'aloshon omer. This is amazing. So Rabbi Meir says, at a time when a person is in distress, and again, we'll discuss what all of this means. Sha'adam mitztar, Rashi says, sheparanus ba'o alav ba'ono, that he suffers. Person suffers, what does the Shechina say? Ma loshon omeres, kalani miroshi, kalani mizro'ai. That ultimately, again, literally, my head has become light, my limbs have become light. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, it's four lines up from the bottom, kalani miroshi, kiloma, kimosha, adam shiyage va'ayef, omer, roshi kaved alai, uzro'i kaved alai, hainu kilalas kal les, ani eini kal. So ultimately, again, well, we're going to discuss this lashon over here. Kalani seems to be a contraction of kal less. When a person is tired, a person is exhausted, his head feels heavy, his limbs feel heavy. So when a person suffers and life feels heavy on him, his body feels heavy, his circumstances feel heavy, the Ribono Shel Olam says, I feel your heaviness as well. Kalani miroshi, kalani mizro'ai. When you feel heaviness, I feel heaviness as well. An incredible idea. So the Gemara goes weiter. Im kein amakom itstar al domen shel rishayim shenishbach, kal vachomer al domen shel tzadikim. So if the Ribono Shel Olam has distress over the rishayim who are executed, all the more so how he has distress when the tzaddikim suffer as well. Velozu bilvadamru, ela kala malin es meso. The Rebbe says, now the Gemara is jumping back for just a moment. The same way that you can't leave a body hanging overnight, even Rebbe says, not in the case of execution, where a person dies, you cannot leave, or you should not leave, a person who has died unburied overnight. And if a person does so, over below sase, he violates a prohibition. However, halinu l'kavod, l'chvodo, the Rebbe is amazing. If you left the body unburied overnight, alts kavod ames, right, for kavod for the deceased. For example, l'havi lo aron v'tachrichim, because you don't have a casket or you don't have shrouds, eino over alav. Then ultimately, again, you do not violate the prohibition. The Rebbe is a very important halacha, because there are times where we will, in general, we try not to go ahead and delay a levaya at all. But again, if there is a need to delay, alts kavod ames. Now again, generally kavod ames today manifests itself in the ability for certain close relatives to be able to get there for a levaya. So we'll do so, and that's not considered to be halonas ames, because again, it's kavod ames. Again, we'll get into the scope of this. So the Gemara goes back to v'lohayu kavod also, back to the guy who was stoned and then hung. So the Gemara said, v'lohayu kavod also bekirbos avosav. When they took him down from the post, they would not bury him in a family plot. Ella, shtei batik varas hayu mitukanam lebeizdin, achos l'negev, ragev l'nechnokin, v'achos l'niskal v'nisrafin. Beizdin had two cemeteries. One for those who were killed by hereg and chenek, by a sword and by strangulation, and the other for those who were killed by stoning and by burning. They would bury the individual in one of these cemeteries. Afterwards, nisach el habasar, once the body decomposed, melaktin es ha'atzamos, family members will then collect the bones of the deceased family member. The kovrono sobim koma. So we'll say the body had to be buried in one of the Beis Din cemeteries. When the body decomposed, they did what's called likot atzamos. We learned this, if you remember, again, back in our Moed Katan days. They gathered up the bones, buried the bones in family plots. The kovrono sobim koma. That krovim, this is, first of all, take a look at the last Rashi. Nisachel habasar, kivar niskaper b'misaso. Once the body decomposes, the person who was killed by Beis Din, his kapara, his atonement is complete. Meaning, his death is part of his atonement, the decomposition of his body is the other part of atonement, and therefore once the body is decomposed, his kapara is complete, ubizyono, his degradation is complete, therefore they could take his bones and bury it in a family plot. This is amazing, get ready for this. Vakrovim, the relatives of the person who was killed by Beis Din, Ba'im v'shalim b'shalom ha'dayanim u'b'shalom ha'edim. They have to go out of their way to go ahead and inquire about the welfare, to give a shalom aleichem to the dayanim and to the edim who were involved in the case that ultimately executed their loved one. Kilomar she'ein b'libeinu aleichem, to show we have no tainess against you, right? We have absolutely no problems with you. Shedin MS Dantem. Because you adjudicated a proper case, you judged correctly. So fine. We'll say, first of all, again, we'll discuss that halacha because that's exceptionally dramatic. Rabbi said, you do not observe Shiva for someone who is executed by Beis Din. However, aval onenin. But Rabbi said, now we'll discuss what this means. Onenin means, but you grieve. You're permitted to grieve for a loved one, even if they're executed by Beis Din. She'ein aninus ela baleif. Because grieving is only done in the heart. When they say lo hayu mis'avlin means there were no mourning practices. No shiva, nothing like that. Aninus over here refers to feeling grief in your heart. You can't legislate ultimately again how a person feels. So obviously they're going to grieve for their loved one. Take a look at Rashi. Tap Rashi mevava medeis. V'lo hayu mis'avlin alein kedei shetihe bizyonan kapara lahen. So we'll say, part of the reason we will discuss why they did not observe Avelis, they didn't observe Shiva, was because that was part of the degradation of the person who was executed, and that's part of his kapara. Incredible Mishnah. Alright, let's explain it. If the Pasuk would have said, he sinned, and he was stoned. I would have said first the body is hung, and then only afterwards do they execute him with skila. In other words, I would have thought first you hang him, and then if he's not killed through hanging, then you kill him with stoning. Apparently this was the way that the government in the times of the Gemara used to execute people. They would first hang them, and if you didn't die through the hanging, then they would stone you. Tamud lomar v'humas v'talisa. Therefore, the pasuk says he will be executed and you will hang him. B'misin also, first you execute the individual, v'acha kach tolun also. Then you go ahead and you hang him. Ketzad, so the Gemara says, how does this work? Mashin also alishkeas chamer. We'll say, this is amazing. They would wait, they would delay the execution of a person until right before sunset. The gomrin as dino, then they would go ahead and they would pass judgment, they would deliver the verdict. Umamisin also. They would execute him right then and there. Now again, we discussed in the previous Mishnayos that there clearly was some level of time delay. Because remember, again, the Beis Haskila was not right next to the Beis Din. You had to get... So whatever it means, the point is they tried to do everything late in the day. And you'll see why this is. Umamisin also. The Achakach tolen also. So they execute him through stoning. And then they hang the body. They're both saying, what's the halacha? Echad kosher ve'echad matir. One person ties the body, right? Meaning one person hangs the body, another person unties the body. Kedelakayim mitzvah taliyah. In order ultimately, again, to be mekayim the mitzvah of hanging. The Rebbe say, why do they do this right before Shkia? Why right before sunset? Because the Rebbe say, remember again, once the sun sets, you can't leave the body hanging anymore. So apparently it appears that they would hang the body literally for just a couple of moments. On one hand, to fulfill the biblical obligation. On the other hand, to try to go ahead and minimize the bizayon to the deceased, the embarrassment to the deceased. So the Gemara says, turn Rabbanon. Eitz. The Pasuk says that you will go ahead and hang the person upon an eitz. Vitalisa osa ala eitz. They will say, now eitz, the pashtus, eitz can mean a lot of things. Eitz can mean wood, but eitz could also mean what? Tree. So shomea ani bein betalish v'mechuber. So maybe it means whether the pole upon which you are hanging him is talush, is something attached to the ground like a tree, or mechuber, or something that's not attached but you attached it like the pole that you plunge into the ground. Talmud lomar ki kabor. But then the pasuk says ki kabor tikparenu. So remember the way the pasuk reads is lo salin nivlaso al ha'itz. do not leave the body on the tree. Ki kabar tik berenu bayomahu. Bury him that day. Bury him that day. I will say, we're going to see what the Gemara is going to darshan is, we darshan the same way that you bury the individual. Watch this. I'm sorry, just lost the place. Tamulomar ki kabar. So we'll say, the way the Gemara is going to darshan is, not only do you bury the individual, but you have to bury the beam up with which he was hung with him as well. Which makes sense, because what did we say before? We learned in yesterday's daf that all of the implements of execution are buried along with the individual, right? In the Dalet Amos of his grave. Even though he is not executed through hanging, but because that is part of the process of his execution, that beam, or those two beams, are buried along with him. Therefore, again, we learn, Mishena Mechusar Elekvura, that you hang him on something that is only missing burying. Yotza Zeh, if you were to hang him on a tree, that wouldn't work. Why? Because Zeh Shemechusar Ketzitza Ukivura. It would first have to be cut down and then buried. So we just learned, therefore, you hang him upon something that can be simply taken out of the ground, but not something that requires to be cut down from the ground. Rabbi Yossi says, Misha ein l'mechusar ela kvura. Rabbi Yossi says, you hang him on something that is only missing kvura. So Rabbi Yossi takes this a step further. Remember, what did Rabbi Yossi, how do you hang him? You take a beam and you lean it against the wall. What's the chilik between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim? The Chachamim are saying you take a beam and you plunge it into the ground. Rabbi Yossi is saying, no, that's too much of a process as well, because that requires you, then after the hanging is complete, to uproot the beam. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi says the beam has to be immediately buryable, right after, again, the act of hanging has taken place. But Rabbanan Kalisha Lavklumi, the Rabbanan will say the act of taking the beam out of the ground is totally insignificant, and therefore, again, they hold that you put the beam in the ground. Kolomar, mipnei ma zetalei, mipnei shebein, achtanyo, Omer Rimeir, mashalo mashal. So Rimeir says, let me give you a mashal. Ultimately, again, to what, meaning, why is it that we take the body down so quickly? And what does it mean? He says, L'shnei achim tu'umim. We'll say this can be compared to two brothers who are twins. Bi'ir achas, and both of the brothers live in one city. Echad minu melech ve'echad yatzal listus. We'll say one brother became king, and another brother became a robber. Tziva ha'melech v'talo. So what happens? One of the brothers, ultimately, again, the thief brother, was found guilty of a crime, and therefore was subsequently hung. So whoever sees the thief hanging, he looks exactly like who? He looks exactly like the king. So whoever walks by is going to say, "Oi, the king has been hanged." So says the Gemara, "Siva hamelech voriduhu." The king therefore commanded that the body be taken down. I will say, now what's the yisod ultimately again of the mashal? Rashi says, "The shnei tu'umim af adam asay b'diyuk non shamakon." I will say, it's actually a very beautiful idea. Man is made in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when man is hanging, kiviyachol, the ribonosh, part of the ribonosh shalom is hanging as well. Therefore, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. We do it, but we do it quickly. We take the body down immediately. Really, because the Gemara says of the bizarre of the degradation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara goes right to Amr Rabbi Meir, my mashma. So what's the inference over here? Amr Abaye kiman da'amar kal les. So we'll say, remember again, the Gemara over here is quoting Rabbi Meir's statement, and Rabbi Meir said, Bishash adam itzar, when a person is in distress, shchina ma'omeres, kalani meroshi, kalani mezroi. Now, the Rabbi Meir is making a drasha on the word kilalas elokim. What does it mean, kilalas elokim? Kalani meroshi, kalani mezroi. So what does that mean? Says the Gemara, Maimash, Amar Abaye, Kiman da'amar, kal les. Kilalas is like one who says kal les. Kal les means it is not light. My head is not light. My body is not light, which is another way of saying, my head feels very heavy. My body feels very heavy. Which Rabbi says is a lashon of distress. Amar le Rava, I don't understand. Imkein, kaved alai roshi, kaved alai zro'imi boile. Why don't you just say, my head is very heavy, my body is very heavy? Why do you have to say, kilalas, kal less? It is not light. To which the Gemara says, Allah Amar Rava, kiman da'amar kil li alma. It's like one who says, the world, it's like one who says, the world ultimately, again, is very light to me. What does it mean? I'll say, Kali Alma, and it's a mechana ve'eni rotze lahasir kvedos ba'atzmi. We'll say sometimes when a person feels overwhelmed, so instead of saying the world feels like it's crushing down on me, they'll use a metaphorical expression of the world is very light on me. To which the Gemara says, "Haimi b'alei l'gufa." But one second, I need that pasuk kikielasa l'kim talui. Both say to teach me a general principle that a person is only executed or a person is only hanged for situations where they curse the Kadosh Baruch Hu, like avodah zara or megadif. If that's the case, to which the Gemara says, "Im kei neima kramekalel." My kilalas, the ema kuli lahach yudasa. So as I said, the entire pasuk comes to teach you this drasha. Imkain neima kra kilas. My kilalas. Why does he use the expanded lashon? Shmaminatarti. Therefore, we'll say from kilas, we're learning two things. Number one, that the only people who are hanged are individuals who curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, i.e., avodah zara and megadeif. And number two, Rabbi say, we learn this idea that when the person is in distress, the Shechina is in distress as well. So we learn this incredible yisod that when even the Rasha is in distress, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kilalas Elokim Taloi, Kali Roshi, Kali Zro'ai. When we suffer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffers alongside us. V'lozul bilvad, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum, Rav Shem HaYochai, Minayi L'malonas Meiso She'obra Lava Lo Sasei. How do we know that if a person leaves his loved one unburied overnight, how do I know that he's violated the Torah prohibition? Tamulomar ki kavar tik berenu. That again, the halacha is, you have to bury him. You have to bury him immediately. Mikan lemalin esmeso sheover below sase. From here we learn that what? That if one goes ahead and leaves his loved one unburied overnight, that ultimately, again, he is in violation of a lo sase, of a prohibition. Ikeda Amr Rebbe says another version of this exchange. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum B'Shem Yochai Remez L'Kvura Min HaTorah Minayin. Rebbe says the others have a different version of this exchange, and in this exchange they're asking the question: from where do we see a scriptural allusion to the idea that we bury dead people? I mean, how do we know that a dead person is supposed, that a person who dies is supposed to be buried in the earth? From where do we see that concept? Talmud Lomar Ki Kavar Tikvarenu. The pasuk says, "You shall surely bury him." Mikan remez l'kvura min haTorah. From here we see, I will say, a remez. Now again, remember, I will say, what's interesting is the following. The Torah never says, v'adaber shema Moshe leimor, bury dead people in the earth. The Torah never says that. We're learning it out from an inference. The pasuk says, when you stone someone, you shall hang them. Don't leave the body hanging overnight. Ki kavar tikbarenu bayomahu. You shall bury him on that day. So the Torah is telling us that when you take the body down, you bury it in the ground. So therefore, again, from here we see that the Torah wants it to be that you bury a person in the earth. Amalei Shabar Malka l'Rav Chama. So Rav Shabar Malka, Shrei King Shapur, asked Rav Chama the following question. What was the question? Kavura min haTorah minayin. So King Shapur asked Rabbi Chama, where in the Torah does it say that you have to bury a person in the ground? Ishtik v'lo amrei v'lo midi. Rav Chama didn't say anything. He didn't answer. Amar Rav Acha Yaakov, im sar alma biyada titipshoy. Oy, the world has been given over to the hands of the foolish ones. So what Rav Acha is saying is, Rav Chama, why didn't you answer him? The boyle lemeimar ki kavar. Could have just said, the pasuk says ki kavar tikbarenu. You have to bury him. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe ki kavar means what? Dele aved le'aron. That means you have to put him in a casket. Tikbarenu lo mashmale. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, why didn't Rav Chama give this answer? Because he felt that King Shapur would not have accepted this answer. The King Shapur would have said, ultimately, again, that ki kavor means you have to bury him in a casket, and tikbarenu, where do you see from that means burial in the earth? How do you know what that means? Therefore, again, Rabbi Chama doesn't respond to King Shapur. So we'll say, so this is actually very interesting. Why don't you say that we could find a fact that the Torah mandates burial in the ground? How? Because ultimately, again, from tzaddiki, vidya ikbor tzaddiki. So we see throughout the Torah that there are examples of righteous people who are buried in the earth. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe min haga ba'alma. Maybe that's just the minug. Ours, who says that's an obligation? Maybe just the minug is that we bury people in the earth. One second, vidya akbrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. But one second, the Moshe buried Moshe Rabbeinu, and he buried Moshe in the earth. I mean, he buried Moshe on a mountain, but that's burial in the earth. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to deviate from the normative minug. And the normative minug is we bury people in the earth. But it's a minug. It's not necessarily a halacha. Toshma. Pasuk says, V'saptu lo kol Yisrael v'kavru oso. So we'll say over here, the Gemara is talking about Avia ben Yeravam. So we'll say, the Navi said to Yeravam ben Nevat, who was an incredible Rasha, Melech HaYisrael, the first Melech HaYisrael, he introduced such idolatry into the land, did so many things wrong, that the Navi said that his entire family is going to be wiped out. Not only that, they're not even going to merit Kvura. But Yeravam has a son who was righteous, his name was Avia, and Avia was told by the Navi, Achia. So there's Avia, who is the son of Yeravam, and Achia Shiloni, who is the Navi. And Achia Shiloni says that Avia, because he was a tzaddik, will be eulogized and properly buried. So what do you see from here? The Navi tells him he's going to be buried in the ground. So you see that we bury people in the ground. To which the Gemara says, "Delo yishtani mimin haga." Maybe that just means that that's the minog. He's giving the bracha that she'll be buried in accordance with the minog. "Velo yisaptu velo yikberu." So ultimately, again, Rabbi said, this is by Yirmiyahu Hanavi speaking to the people of Anatot. Right? So the people of Anatot, because they were of the Avodah Zarah, ultimately, again, it would be wiped out and they wouldn't merit burial. So the Navi won't. So we see from here, when the Navi says you're going to get punished, you're not going to merit burial, tells us that what? That burial, ultimately, again, in the ground is a normative thing. The Navi saying that ultimately, again, they won't be buried in accordance with the minog. So the idea, you see what the Gemara is driving at over here. We're trying to figure out, the Gemara brings a bunch of examples of people who were buried in the ground. The Gemara tries to say, you see that the fact that people are buried in the ground tells us that what? That the halacha is, you bury people in the ground. To which the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe all that's saying is, that's the minog. That's the minhag. The minhag was buried on the ground. But lav dafka, that we could see a raya, that there's an obligation to bury people in the ground. But so we'll just do one more line, then we'll stop here for today. Iboiluhu, kvura mishum bizyonahu, o mishum kaparu. But so when you bury a person in the ground, ultimately again, is that mishum bizyon? In other words, if you look at Rashi, it says mishum bizyonahu, shlo yizbaza la'in kol shiru, meis v'nyakav v'nikba, that it would be a bizayon to the deceased and to his family if a body would just sit unburied and would decompose in plain sight. Omishum kapara. Or is the act of burial considered to be a kapara for the deceased? So the Gemara says, now again, how is burial a kapara? Rashi says, Ki echi detehavi le kapara bat manazu, shemoritin umashpilin oso betachtios. We'll say, the greatest sin that sometimes a person contends with in this world is gaiva, is arrogance. So maybe the way we're mechaper for a person's arrogance during this lifetime is how we bury him deep in the ground. See, I will say here the shayla is burial alts kapara for the deceased, or is burial alts bizayon for the loved ones? So the marshal amay nafkamina, the boss of nafkamina. Listen to this: the amar lo ba'inan delikbura. Let's say I will say a person leaves in his will. I don't want to be buried. I love my bed. Just leave me on my bed, right? I don't bury me. It's a Tempur-Pedic, zach. Leave. I want to stay there. Don't go ahead and bury me. So what's the halacha? Say, if you say that burial is in order to go ahead and prevent the bizayon, prevent the embarrassment of the family members, even if the deceased leaves explicit instructions not to bury him, we don't have to listen to those instructions because lemaisa again, it's going to be embarrassing for the family. V'armet mishum kapara. But if you say ultimately again it's mishum kapara, ha'amar lo b'inah kapara. Person has the right to say, I don't want the kapara. So we'll say, how do we pass him? So again, we'll see mi di'ik tashma, mi di'ik bor tzadiki. So we'll say, we see the fact that righteous people are buried. V'armet mishum kapara, tzadiki la kapara tzadiki. And if you want to say it's about kapara, do righteous people need kapara? So the Gemara assumes the answer is no. To which the Gemara says, of course, in d'chsiv, it's Adam ain tzadik baret asher ya'asetov below yecheta. Ultimately, again, I will say there is no such thing as even the most righteous of people who hasn't committed navera and therefore doesn't need kapara. So I will say the way we paskin ultimately again is burial really serves both of these purposes. Burial serves as a kapara, but burial is also there in order to avoid the bizayon of a family. And therefore, even if a person were to leave a tzava in his will that he does not want to be buried, we ignore that tzava because even though he has certain rights legabe himself, he doesn't have the rights to go ahead and cause his family embarrassment. Therefore, we will bury him. But I will say, we're going to stop over here, but understand, we are still left with our fundamental question, which is what? from where do we know that there's an obligation to bury? We've seen now that there's a minug to bury, that's the minug ha'olam, but from where do we see an obligation to bury in the ground? Imran Hashem, to be continued tomorrow. With the commissions.